व्यवहारो चित्रं अंगो बहुदनं पितृहो दक्षिणा कान उचरो देवो स्मृता पितृहो आपनो व्यवहारोत्र चित्रमंदो बहुदनम् पितृर्दक्षिणाकरणा उतरो देवहु स्मृता आपनो व्यवहारोत्र चित्रम अंधो बहुदनम् पितृदक्षिणाकरणा उतरो देवहु स्मृता आपनो व्यवहारोत्र चित्रम अंधो बहुदनम् पितृदक्षिणाकरणा उतरो देवहु स्मृता आपनो व्यवहारोत्र पितृमंदो बहुदनम् पितृदक्षिणाकरणा उतरो देवहु स्मृता आपनो व्यवहारोत्र
Pitrihu.
Dakshina.
Right.
Dana.
Ear.
Uttara.
Left.
Devahu.
Devahu.
Smritaha.
Is called.
Translation. The city called Apana represents engagement of the tongue in speech, and Bahudana is a variety of foodstuffs. The right ear is called the gate of Pitrihu, and the left ear is called the gate of Devahu. There's no purport to this verse, so we will continue with text 13. Pavitam cha nivrittam cha shastram panchala sangitam pitri jnanam deva jnanam shotat shruta darad vrajet. Translation. Narada Muni continued. The city spoken as Dakshina Panchala represents the scriptures meant for directing pavriti, the process of sense enjoyment and fruitive activities. The other city, named Uttara Panchala, represents the scriptures meant for decreasing fruitive activities and increasing knowledge. The living entity receives different kinds of knowledge by means of two ears, and some living entities are promoted to Pitriloka and some to Devaloka. All this is made possible by the two ears. Purport. The Vedas are known as Shruti, and the knowledge received from them through oral reception is called Shruti Dhara. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one can be promoted to the planets of the demigods or to the planets of the Pitas, forefathers, or even to the Vaikuntha planets simply through the process of hearing. These things have already been explained in previous chapters. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nivasesa Sunyavari Paskatya Desatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garada Sri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here, in these two shlokas, we hear of the powers of hearing. It is by sound vibration that things get ordered. Because sound vibration is a means to obtain knowledge. There's an interesting part in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where you will find how the material world was established or created. And it was said there that it is through Bhagavad Virya or Shabda, Shabda means sound, that the whole world takes on its form. Please consider, when you have a TV screen and you have not yet your TV channel, you're just choosing what channel you will take, you're in between. You will see the electrons bumping through on that screen. It will be white and there will be black. They call it Wellensalat. That means a salad prepared from electromagnetic waves. It is completely disorderly. But then, when the information which is broadcasted in forms of frequencies in which the waves go, the electromagnetic waves, when the information hits the antenna and you have put your TV thing into on the right frequency, then through that vibration, that frequency, the TV screen gets ordered and makes sense. You see the daily news or some film or anything by the force of these frequencies which are received. So if we are able to receive the vibrations or the sound frequencies of the Vedic literature, our life can be ordered on the basis of this frequency. See, this frequency, or as the Vedas say, shabda. Shabda doesn't just mean the audible sound vibration, it means any vibration. By this shabda, order is brought where disorder was prevalent. So the whole human civilization, if it is hearing the sound vibration of the Vedic scriptures, can be ordered and progress toward self-realization. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna explains that there are others who, although not expert in spiritual knowledge, begin hearing from the right source, and in this way progress on the path which will free them from birth and death. Hearing is so important that just by this one process a person can become completely self-realized without any problem. Therefore, Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he was speaking. Do you remember? Please remember, Prabhupada was always speaking. When he was walking, he was speaking. When he was sitting, he was speaking. He was lecturing from the Vyasasana, he was lecturing from his sitting place. He was dictating words of transcendence, the knowledge, into the mic, into the dictaphone. When someone would visit him, he would speak about Krishna. He would always create transcendental sound vibration. That is a fearless way, because it is said that even fear personifies, fears him, he fears where the holy name is vibrated, the transcendental sound vibration is made. Transcendental sound vibration can awaken us to our spiritual life. There is a very nice analogy given in one of the Upanishads. It is an analogy of a man who goes into a forest and somehow falls over a cliff. So by some arrangement, the arrangements of the Aborigines, a net has been established. So when he falls, helter-skelter. He falls into the net. And now the aborigines have made a plan. Their plan is, whoever falls into the net will be our next king. It is described like this. So he falls, and due to the shock, he forgets his memory, forgets who he is. And we just had a terrible event in our yatra. One Sankirtan then had a terrible accident, and two devotees were almost killed. One flew 10 meters out of the front windshield and landed on the road. The thing, the head, not the skull, unfortunately not the skull, but what is above the skull. Yeah, the skin, yes, that rubbed apart. And then it was actually far out. Oh, Krishna saved the situation. Then one person, Sanitator, he came in order to put him together. It's actually Matiji put her together. But fortunately, a nurse also was there, and she fought with this person. Don't try to put it together, because you might make it that some nerves in the spine get twisted. In this way, this person won't be able to walk for his whole life. And the sanitator said, no, don't you see? Her head is bleeding. She's has lost already a couple of liters. Come on. So this nurse virtually slapped him and fought with him. So that was saved our devotee's life, because her spinal cord was broken in many pieces. And if someone would have tried to put the head where it belonged, it would have squeezed the nerves in the spinal cord and would either have killed her or made her immovable for life. So she was lying there screaming, Krishna, Krishna. And she wouldn't lose her consciousness, just screaming. You can imagine, finally they gave her the treatment, and finally she lost her consciousness. And when she woke up, due to the shock, she had forgotten. This is there when you have a terrible accident. You sometimes get a shock and you forget who you are, forget your people, forget your passport number and telephone number. So our man who fell down the cliff had a similar experience when the aborigines finally came and dragged him out of the net. He had forgotten who he is, and in this way he could be made the new king. They danced around him, Humba Tumba, you are our next king. And somehow he believed them. He was dressing in a mini skirt with straw, had some attractive bones pierced through the ear, and a bone through the nose, and ruled the aborigines happily afterwards. So after some time, his brother, who was searching for him all over, came to the same cliff, and he also fell. But he didn't lose his memory, and when he came to the village and saw his brother, now been made the king. Oh, he became very sorry. Brother, he said, don't you remember who you are? Have you lost all your knowledge of your original real identity? And the brother, the aboriginal king, he couldn't really follow. Finally, due to the insistent preaching of his brother, he remembered, oh, I'm actually a freeman, I have nothing to do with this aboriginal culture. I have my real identity apart from this foolish identity. But because he was attached, this is how the story goes, because he was attached, he would not give up his wrong identity. So the Vedas use this example in one of their Upanishads to give an analogy for our situation. We also have fallen into this material world. We have fallen into this material body, and due to illusion only, we think we are identical with this bodily situation. It is a wonderful analogy, isn't it? We just like the person now thinks he is a king, we also think that we are the material body. Our knowledge has been lost. And just like this person can be revived to his true identity by hearing from his brother, in a similar way, we also can be revived to our original identity by hearing from the Vedic scriptures about Krishna conscious knowledge. Then it is possible for us to wake up. Śrīmatā svakatā Krishna punya śravana kirtanā hrityantastho hi. By this hearing, our friend within the heart begins to take care of us. It is none else than Lord Paramatma who has followed us through our material sojourn and who can kindle the fire of knowledge in us, so that we become also free from our false identity. This knowledge can really save us from repeated birth and death. Without this knowledge, we won't be able to become fully Krishna consciousness. And in addition to hearing from this transcendental, from a transcendental source about spiritual life, we gain all the help necessary. The Lord Paramatma in our hearts will be very sympathetic for our cause. The Lord will help us. He will clear all our misconceptions. And like it is said, he will enlighten us with transcendental knowledge from within. This is a wonderful process. It is described in one place. A devotee should learn to elevate his consciousness so that he can actually receive direct instructions from the Lord within the heart. So this is done by simply hearing about Krishna, and in this way losing our wrong identification. But we must be very careful. In our example, this king with the bones through his, the bone king, so to say, with the bones through his nose, and ears. He didn't come to self-realization because of his foolish desire to remain that which he was not. So, in a similar way, a person may hear and hear and hear, but if he doesn't give up the desire to be the lord of this material surroundings, if he doesn't come to the understanding that he is a slugi, slugi is a Yugoslavian word, and somehow it sounds just like a servant, so therefore it is better than the English word servant. If he, you know, slugi, in this sound vibration, somehow there is this mood that you have to surrender. So we also should become, we must wake up to become the slugi of Krishna. If we do not become the slugi of Krishna, then we will never wake up to our Krishna conscious identity. See, in the material world, we always look for an identification, and that is a wonderful subject, which at this particular moment I... Jai Sisi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai! We come to we always look for a material identification. Now, because we are not material, our material roles are an illusion's play. Just like William Shakespeare, he said, "This world is a tale told by an idiot, with much sound and fury, signifying nothing." So, our material life is a tale of woe and sorry. It is a tale of defeat. It is a tale of a historical loser who has lost his spiritual identity and fumbles around with some material identifications. Now the desire is everything. Of course, when we come to Krishna consciousness, usually we do not really, consciously make the effort. Our coming to Krishna consciousness is a mixture, and the majority of percentage is Krishna's mercy, which comes to us in the form of Agyata Sukriti, or advancement, which is not consciously searched after. Of course, there must be a desire, but Agyata Sukriti is such a wonderful thing. It is not that in a conscious endeavor we start with spiritual advancement. Usually we get a book or we get the association of devotees who put some halava in our mouth, and in this way we advance. For the pleasure of their lordships Radha Gopinath and Shishi Radha Gopinath, the most wonderful deities, we want to tell a little story in order to clarify this point, how by the mercy of the Lord we advance, because we are getting the opportunity to have Agyata Sukriti. The story is about Tulsi. Once there was a farmer who had a field, and somehow on this field several Tulasi plants were growing. So next to his property was a Vaishnava who wanted to have a Tulasi plant, and this Vaishnava Brahmana would always approach our farmer, "Please, please, give me a tulasi plant. But he said, no, no, I'm not giving you a tulasi plant. Why? Because you will bow down to a plant. This is not very good. This is not very healthy for your life. This is a mere superstition. You think by bowing down to a plant, your life will increase. This is all foolish. He was an atheist, in other words. So the Brahmana said, please, you may not believe in what is the potency of Lord of Srimati Tulasi Devi, but please give. So the farmer said, one day he's considered inspired. After all, this Brahmana is such a nice man. I mean, if he wants a tulsi plant, I might, you know, one day give him one of my tulsi plants. So, as the story goes, the day of his death came. The day which was set aside for his death. So the Yamadutas, the messengers of death, came to where he was, and they ordered a big black cobra snake to wait in the field, and he would come and attack him. So that particular day, the Brahmana finally decided to make true his promise, and he went with a spade to the tulasi plants in order to dig a circle around her and then take her out of the earth. So when he was starting to dig the tulsi plant, the Yamadutas, who stood a little bit in the distance, maybe 30 meters, they ordered the snake. No one could see the Yamadutas here. I mean, the farmer couldn't see the Yamadutas. They were ordering the snake, now bite! The snake tried to attack, but when he came in the auspicious influence around the tulsi, he couldn't bite. Why are you not biting? It's his time of death. This farmer, this atheist, has to die now. I can't bite, said the snake. Don't know what happens. This is some influence is stopping me to bite. So, don't be sentimental. Bite! But somehow or other, the snake couldn't bite. So then the Yamaduta said, all right, if you can't bite, then at least go into the sack which the farmer used to transport the tulsi. And then, as soon as you have the opportunity, as soon as he takes the tulsi out, then you bite. So the farmer finally arrived with the sack. He couldn't see anything. He didn't even notice how the snake went into the bag. So the Brahmana, when he saw the farmer, he understood that Srimati Tulsi Devi had just saved his life. And he started to preach to the Brahmana, thank you very much that you finally give me the tulsi, but that is for your own benefit. Why? This is not for my benefit, I just wanted to make a surprise for you, this is for your benefit. And I do, as you know, I do not believe in tulsi and all these things. No, no, said the Brahmana, tulsi saved your life today. What? Yes! You were destined to die, but because of the influence of tulsi, your death couldn't come about. No, said the farmer. This is all superstition. Oh, I regret already that I brought the tulsi to you. Now I have to hear all this religious jibble jabble. So No, no, said the Brahmana, who was Trikala Gyan. He had this vision. It is like this. And he explained the whole story. And now, there is, to convince yourself, you can see the snake in your bag. So the farmer opened the bag. And then the Yamadutas again were there and said, now jump up, bite in his nose, so that this person will die. I can't, said the snake, it is not possible. I do not know what has overcome me. I'm not able to do this. So the Brahmanas, he showed the snake. You see the snake which lay down in this bag? Do you see? Oh, said the farmer, this is a black cobra. They are the most poisonous snakes. Yes, said the Brahmana, due to Tulsi's influence, she couldn't, that snake could not bite you. So you can see how in this particular story, due to the association of Vaishnavs, of a Vaishnav, the farmer was saved, because it was due to the instigation, or due to the Vaishnav Brahmana, that the Tulsi plant came to the farmer. In other words, that the farmer was able to have this Agyata Sukriti, this progress, spiritual progress, which is described as Agyan, not known, not intended. So in this particular story, I thought it is very important to mention, we can see the potency, one, the potency of Tulsi, but also the potency of the Vaishnava, by whose grace we come in contact with all these transcendental processes. Imagine there would not have been any Vaishnavas, how would you be here sitting in the class hearing all these transcendental things? So the Vaishnavas are invested with the Supreme, with the Kripa Shakti, the mercy potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in a magnanimous way they go around spreading Krishna consciousness, like we will see tomorrow when we have our Ratha Yatra. I think how much we have planned? 7,500 prasadam, isn't it? Helpings of prasadam. 7,500 people will be turned on the spiritual path, although they may not consciously make the endeavor for that. This is a Agyata Sukriti, which is distributed by the Vaishnavas. Of course, a little desire has to be there. I remember our one devotee who met Mick Jagger, who is a pop star. So he gave this person some prasad. And whilst the person, while this Jagger was eating it, he told him, this is offered with love and devotion to Krishna. So this sinful demon just spit the prasadam out, because he had no desire for Krishna consciousness. A little desire must be there. Otherwise, it is not really possible to advance in Krishna consciousness. It is not really possible to make Krishna conscious, to even come in contact with Agyata Sukriti. You will somehow spoil the whole Agyata Sukriti's taking effect. Jai Sri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai. So even in hearing from our transcendental scriptures, We have to apply our desire to know more, to hear more about Sri Krishna, and in this way make transcendental advancement. This process has to be applied. We should be very eager to hear devotees discuss Krishna consciousness, because by this process alone our Krishna consciousness is born. Just like when you have a seed, you have to constantly apply water. It may be that you do not see how the seed grows. You may have to pour water for one constant week on the seed before you even see that some growth takes place. And you have to constantly apply it in order to that the seed comes out at all. Or if you are diseased and you take medicine, you have to constantly apply the medicine, even if in the first 4 or 5 days you cannot really see how the medicine takes effect. With the similar patients, we should hear the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name and of the scriptures every day, so that our Krishna consciousness is born. We may not see what is the difference if I sleep during the lecture or if I go to a lecture. We may not really see it. Oh, sleeping at least was something substantial. I made some physical advancement. I became a little stronger. Felt so weak and tired. We may not see the transcendental effects taking place, but rest assured, they take place. Like I remember, once there was a person who came to Srila Prabhupada, a high court judge. He came with the high court. There was a high court judge present, but the person I wanted to tell you about was someone who could read the lines in the hands. Have you heard this? Hand reader? Is he a hand reader? Palmistry. Palmist, yes. So he asked Prabhupada to show his palm, and Prabhupada said, no, this is not important. Because once you clap your hands before the deities, all the lines change. Now, I'm sure, see, my line looks like an M here. I'm sure if I tomorrow clap before the deities, which I might do, if I look afterwards in my hands, they will still look like an M, the lines. So how could Prabhupada say all the lines change? Prabhupada indicated that our destiny changes. And this is something which is more subtle than just some lines in some skin and blood and, you know, skin and bones, you know. It's more important than that. So, the Krishna conscious process, a very important spiritual thing takes place. The change of our destiny. Our hearing is so important, Prabhus, that if we hear our Sisi Nara Gopinara Ki, but no, something else has changed by clapping to the hand before the deity. So by our hearing, we get the information in our life, provided we hear from the right source, through which we make advancement in our Krishna consciousness. path through which we wake up from the sleepiness of material existence to the eternal truth of Krishna. By hearing Krishna conscious katha every day without fail, our spiritual body will grow more and more, and then we will more and more know how to go back in Krishna with all our life's activities, go back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this one lifetime. Please do not think this is just a fairy tale. We cannot go back to Krishna in one lifetime. If you have heard properly, and if in your heart is a throne where the Supreme Personality of Godhead sits, because you always remember Him, you can advance very nicely. Usually the heart is a bad stead for sexual activities. The heart of the materialist, especially nowadays in this day and age, it is a bad stead for material activities. Yes, this is.
Some nonsense activity. You expect a problem. Dhruva Maharaj, he marched off into the forest following the directions of his mother. His mother said, "My dear boy, if you want to
of Krishna consciousness, we make our heart a throne as the Supreme Lord Shri Radha Gopinath. Go in, sit upon, and bless our lives in a very wonderful way." So I do not want to discuss much more today, because today is a day of preparation. Everyone, especially our visiting devotees, should help in making the most wonderful arrangements for tomorrow's Ratha Yatra ceremony. I heard that Bhakti Charu Maharaj will come today, but then also India Dyumna Maharaj and Ayodhya Pati Prabhu will come, so we will have wonderful enlivening association with lots of swirling and dancing and in the streets of Antwerpen, and in this way we will wake up the sleeping Belgium with a very transcendental event. So we should all prepare for that. And when it comes, when the kirtans start, take part in blissful unison and sing the Lordship's name. Good. Is there any question to all this? I think this subject was basic, not
very complicated.
Yes.
You explained that when one has the opportunity to start on the transcendental path, there has to be a little bit of a desire.
Yes.
Otherwise, the opportunity is lost. How much desire should there be? Because the person at the moment is very full of still materialism.
Yes. He's like this king, who is It's a wonderful analogy, isn't it? That he wants to be the king. Therefore he doesn't hear when his brother tells him. He has no desire to give up his bamboo or straw mini skirt. No desire there. So how much desire should there be? Well, let us say there must be some minimum desire, but how much? There is no limit. Minimum desire, I would say, at least one should desire to lead a life which is better. It is described, if you want to keep things as they are, you will not really approach Krishna consciousness in a very nice way. See, there are so many guests here who come to Radha Desh, and many of those guests, I presume, they come just because everyone else goes. You know, the bus stops here, and then everyone, you know, marches into the temple. So some of them say, well, human being is a hurt being, hurt, you know, the flock, yeah, they always move in flocks, so I might as well go where the flow goes, you know. And in this way they enter our Radha Desh. Yeah. Isn't it? Sometimes you must see people who just, and when they look at the altar, they only see flowers, you know. What? There is something? I just see flowers and some light. That's all. Because the desire is not very much there. So minimum desire should be that I want to change my life a little.
Does that mean that one, at that moment, has to be, let's say, predominantly in the
modern world? No, it's not really necessary, because it's very difficult. We were discussing about this. Is it just the Supreme Lord's mercy who brings you in contact with Agyata Sukriti? Or is it that something you must bring? And our Siddhanta, our conclusion was, we had a long discussion amongst our devotees. There must be a little desire of the living entity, because otherwise, you know, everyone would have that chance. But some are just out and out atheistic. Like Prabhupada, he mentioned that for the out and out demons, he puts them into a situation where they can't really pick up Krishna consciousness. They revolve through the lower life pieces again and again. So your question regarding the desire, it is something very subtle. You may not be even consciously aware of this desire. Maybe you are such a case that I do not know, but by you personally, there may be devotees who had no such desire consciously. I remember my friend, he came to Krishna consciousness, one, because I came, and second, because it tastes good, the prasadam. So after 2 weeks, he realized, well, this has something to do with God. This I do not want at all. It was a little dull. They always sing God's name and they do service to God. This is what I do not want at all. I'm not a pious person, I'm a musician. This is all my life's goal. So, but nevertheless, he became a devotee. There must have been some desire. Many times we do not really know our own desires.
Maharaj, you were explaining that by transcendental sound vibration, all of it is created.
Yes.
And yesterday, his mother was here from Germany also. And she came to me and said, is Dallas in Dortmund?
Yeah.
And I said, yes. And then she said, there must be Ordnung, otherwise you cannot be in Krishna consciousness. I have experiences in after so many years with this Ordnung, how it's been good. So I wanted to ask this just by, because somewhere or other, and I think I'm not alone, but to get together in Krishna consciousness is not always easy, to get order. So is it just that we concentrate to make spiritual advancement and that will come automatically, or do we have to work on it separately?
Yeah, it is described that Krishna consciousness in a way works like a lift. If you just stay in Krishna consciousness, it will elevate you by its own force. And we have seen this, but you can definitely accelerate the process by your own endeavor. Therefore, Krishna, he says, "Ye atamang prapatyante tangstataiva bhajamyaha." In the degree someone surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. It is said when you make one step in the direction of Krishna, Krishna comes 10 steps towards you. So if you make 10 steps towards Krishna, then he comes 100 steps towards you. So you should definitely endeavor. See, the Christians say, no, we are saved. The endeavor is demoniac. Because by endeavor, you pretend to be God who can... you pretend you don't need help, but this is the foolish philosophy. All right, granted that we need the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is granted, but we have to endeavor to take it. It's just like a little boy who learns to run, to walk. It's not that the father can just make him walk if he doesn't desire and if he doesn't endeavor. The boy has to stretch his hands like little Bhima, the king of all dancers. He has to stretch the little hands up to the air and say, help me to walk. So we have to make a conscious endeavor. Therefore, in the Veda, therefore our spiritual master gives us so many instructions to help that our endeavor goes in the right direction. The more you endeavor in Krishna consciousness, the earlier Krishna will reveal himself and his causeless mercy to you. We do not need sleeping members, we need preaching members. That's what Prabhupada said. Endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness is the easiest way to obtain the mercy of the Lord. Because by preaching, you become the direct instrument of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, all bhaktas should aspire to join the Sankirtan party and get into book distribution, and also the other devotees, they should try to become preachers. Like here in Radhadesh, we are so fortunate, so many people come. Like yesterday, I saw you with some nice young people. You were explaining something in Dutch which I couldn't follow in great detail. So, yes, everyone can be aware of guests visiting and taking care of them. And in this way become a preaching member. And not a sleeping member. Very Prabhupada coined this term. And so, about alles in Ordnung, I do not know. It's a sign of the mode of goodness to have order around you. Then you can more easily concentrate. I'm always making the mistake when I'm coming to the temple and where I have my base. I have so much to work, and in a few seconds the whole room, you know, looks as if an atom bomb has exploded. And it just, my desk looks, so many letters, so many things, so many notes, you know. And I'm thinking, well, what I will do is I will work one thing after the other and create order by putting it all, by sucking the work away. But this is a foolish philosophy. One has to make its surroundings orderly. You would see if you make the brahmachari ashram look nice, or your own room look orderly, you will much easier concentrate on Krishna. Because if you're going into the absolute chaos number 40, 41 or 40, I do not know what is the particular number of your ashram store, yes, or for 30, or the chaos number 5, you know, then you won't be able to concentrate very nicely on Krishna consciousness. Because you have created a very distracting atmosphere around you. Also in one's life, one should make a little order, isn't it? One should find out his ashram, then one should, and then one should move about in this ashram in a right way. One shouldn't make it wrong. So on. Does this answer your question? Good. Yeah. How old is your body, Prabhu? Yes.
69.
Congratulations. Yes, please.
This desire is it better to express this desire by prayers, which not to to feel more love for him?
Yes, this is very, very good. To increase one's desire, it is very nice to pray to Krishna. See, also we have to understand the desire is already there. The soul screams, Krishna! Every minute of the day the soul screams, my dear Lord, please take me to you. And especially you are now a little older, you should cover, how do you say, free your desire from all this shadows, you know, this material shadows, desires for women, for money, for fame, for name. There is no reason for you. You have it much easier than the young devotees who have still so many illusions in life. You should now focus your desire. Desire should be like a laser beam. You know, when light is diffused, it goes here and there. It's not very strong, but if it is focused, it can cut a granite stone in the form of laser. So you, by prayer and also by association with devotees who are full with transcendental desire, you can improve your desire. And by overall purification. Laser beam desire. What is your name again? What is your name? Kleshapaha. I'm very impressed. Such a 69 old Vaishnav, 69, preparing to go back to home, back to Godhead. When will you die? Any idea? That's up to Krishna, huh? You still feel strong? Yeah. More or less, yeah. No, please stay as long as possible with us. Yeah, with 69 years, you think about death, isn't it? Sometimes. Yeah? Wonderful. I'm very impressed. Yes, Madhavi. I was trying to explain this point earlier. No, the price which you have to pay for Krishna consciousness is intense greed. You have to desire it. There's no way around. Sometimes we say Krishna gives us everything, like we have this nice castle and yesterday we had cake with cream. You know, and Varuni, we didn't ask for cake with cream, it just came. So but when it goes to Krishna, sure, certain details are given without our asking for it. But for Krishna, we have to desire. See, because it is this one thing which you are able to give. Your free will, my dear Lord, I want you. Beyond. Besides that, there's not much you can give. Because Krishna has everything except that free will. Due to your free will, you decided against Krishna. So, Krishna has a glass of water, Krishna has all the gold, Krishna has all the world within his hands. But still he is within the worlds. Krishna has no desire to fulfill. Nothing he really needs. But he wants your particular desire that you want Krishna. Because this is what you have. That's all you have. That's what you misused to turn against the Lord. So, if you do not have this desire, then please desire to have the desire. If you do not have the desire to have the desire, then you have to desire so that you desire. I think the idea is clear. Somehow, somewhere, you have to start with the desire.
The
desire to become Krishna conscious. Yeah. There's no way around. Good. I think we have come to a natural end here. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai.